Hello, hello, and welcome to Focus with Angela Duncan, where we focus on growing deeper in our walks with the Lord by focusing on God's love, God's heart, and the truth of His Word. I'm your host, Angela Duncan. Thank you to all our listeners who tune in each week on Fishbowl Radio Network, the number one internet radio station. Broadcasting live from Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, we have 4 million listeners tuning in globally. So thank you guys for tuning in. Last week, our top 10 countries tuning in were United States, Germany, China, Ecuador, Japan, France, Canada, United Kingdom, Philippines, and Brazil. Awesome. Excuse me. You can find me on Facebook under the group name Focus with Angela Duncan or on podcast under Focus with Angela Duncan as well. So please go and subscribe. Our goal at Focused is to uplift, encourage, and inspire you by providing you with Christ-centered content that is authentic, informative, and relevant. Today, we have a great show for you. We will be discussing the topic, growing in love. Amen. So how does one grow in love? I'm glad you asked. Stay tuned as our guest, Pastor Joshua Bernard, teaches on this subject and so much more. So let me introduce my guest that's here today. He's actually my pastor, so I'm always blessed to have him in the building. He is a dynamic speaker, pastor, father, and husband. He is the founder and senior pastor of the best church in Arlington, Believers Connection Church, which is a non-denominational church, which is located in Arlington, Texas. He holds a bachelor's degree in criminal justice and an associate's in biblical studies. Pastor Joshua is the husband of Crystal Bernard, and together they have 4 children. You heard that right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Please welcome him to the show. How are you?
I am good. I'm excited.
Good.
Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So, we're talking about growing in love today.
Yes.
And when we think of growing in love, your mind can go a lot of ways. Are we talking about loving our spouse more? Are we talking about growing in love towards our children? Are we talking about loving our neighbor? It's not limited to that, but all of these things are affected when we grow in the love that the Father has for us. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So with that said, I was writing these questions and thinking about this, and I thought, man, it's such an oxymoron, and I've said this before, we have a lot of bound Christians, which shouldn't go together because Christ has set us free, and we've been set free in Christ, so bound and Christianity shouldn't even be together, but I think embracing and experiencing the love of God and not just hearing about it is a key to walking in that freedom, and I think a lot of times we know God loves us based on the Word.
Right.
We hear the Father's love. We hear that He has an everlasting love for us. We hear different scriptures, but I don't know that we experience it or embrace it as truth in our life on a daily basis. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about that.
Absolutely. You know, it starts with us understanding how to walk with God. What does that mean to walk with God today? And many believers have not transitioned from the Old Testament way of following God to the New Testament way.
Yes.
And we have to understand what the New Testament way is and how that works. The average believer knows how the Bible said the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. So the truth of our walk is through Holy Spirit. However, our engagement in those inward parts of our being with the Holy Spirit matters.
Yeah.
And so we have to identify those unctions that the Spirit tries to help us to understand, to perceive, to experience through that love so we can know how to walk with God properly. And so, you know, God's death showed His love.
Come on.
He showed His love.
Yes.
And we read, and one of my favorite scriptures is, yet we were sinners, he died.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yet we were sinners, he died. He showed his love in this, that yet we were sinners.
Yeah.
He died.
Yeah, I actually have that on my notes because I wanted to read that scripture. And I actually wanted to read it in its entirety because there's so much packed in that. It's Romans 5, 8 through 10. And it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this.
Mm-hmm.
While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood,
yes,
how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, that's powerful, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So even while we were his enemies, yep, he had reconciled us in Christ.
Absolutely.
So it says God demonstrates his own love for us.
Yes.
So how does the scripture really like pull together the gospel, the good news for believers and unbelievers?
Well, the first thing we have to understand, this is how he demonstrated his love.
Mm-hmm.
So if God is demonstrating his love in his death, everything that we do in the administration of that love point to his death.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to grow in God, we got to point to his death,
mm-hmm,
because his death shows his love.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the lack of understanding or the misunderstanding is coming from. The administration of God's love point to his death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the reality of his death points to his righteousness.
Yeah,
the reality of his death points to his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ, in that death, we are his righteousness because Christ is in us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so we grow in righteousness that builds faith.
Okay.
The Bible says you should be teachers by now.
Mm-hmm.
But you need someone to teach you again the elementary principles,
mm-hmm,
that govern the oracles of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, you're babes in the word of righteousness.
Yes.
You're babes in the word of righteousness.
Uh-huh.
So that means that we're not understanding the totality of what he died for. The
yes.
totality. So it's not that we haven't, hey, God, you saved me, but there are levels of ourselves. There are levels of
mm-hmm.
our souls.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is not just, it's not just an entrium of salvation. It's a continuation, a continual life in understanding that love life language.
Okay.
So we can continue to grow up in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and faith.
So you said earlier, you said a lot of believers are still living in the Old Testament type of, I guess, faith, the Old Testament type of love, or I guess how God mm-hmm. demonstrated his own love. And so do you think is that we just haven't embraced the fact, because that's what the good news is. The gospel is the good news that we no longer have to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer have to, you know, go through these rituals and things like they did in the Old Testament, that God has totally freed us from that in Christ,
mm-hmm,
because Jesus was the spotless lamb. And it's
yes.
like, it's a gift. It is like repentant, turning and accepting what Christ has done. And I don't know why do you think that's, I don't know how to phrase this, lost in sharing the good news? I feel like it's not shared like that. I feel like it's like, yeah, Jesus died, but you still got to come in your own strength and you still got to clean yourself up.
Well, it's not shared because you cannot. You have to grow up and be skilled in the word of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're skilled in the word of righteousness, which
mm-hmm.
points to Christ,
mm-hmm.
the death of Christ,
mm-hmm.
you become, there's a grace in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans, he said, for the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's the righteousness of God reveals faith,
mm-hmm.
it means that I have to see what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
And that builds my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that builds my faith, it builds my grace capacity.
Mm.
And now I'm exercising the word. God is his word.
Right.
God is, number one.
Yes.
You know, and listen, it's the good news.
It is.
It's good news.
It's great news.
I came to give good news.
That's what I'm saying. God is for you. He is not against you.
And,
good news.
And the good news is God is God.
Yeah.
And the Bible says God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if God is
mm-hmm.
love and God is God, he's sovereign.
Yeah.
Okay? So God is also a king. So when he speaks, he's sovereign. He's omnipotent. Mm-hmm. No one is above him.
Right.
So when he speaks, that love establishes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's also establishing law.
Mm-hmm.
So when that love is establishing, it's the beginning and it's the set. It's the set. Mm-hmm. It's established.
Okay.
Anything that violates that, because he's established as God, mm-hmm. sovereign, and love.
Mm-hmm.
So if love speaks, everything that he's speaking and creating is in love.
Yes.
If love speaks and
yes.
creates, everything that he speaks is love.
Because it says he is love.
He is love.
He is God. He is the Word. So everything comes out of love.
Everything come out of love. So even when he's establishing what we perceive as law,
mm-hmm.
it still has to point to love.
Yeah.
Because love spoke.
Yeah.
So it has to always point back to love. Everything that God does is love. Okay. However, we have a nature. And I don't want to move too fast, but we have a nature to deal with. And so I want everybody to understand the perspective matters. The Christian perspective matters.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we jump into Christianity and we have not, like I say, transitioned from that Old Testament living
yes.
into the New Testament experiential knowledge
yes.
through the love of God.
Yes.
Lifestyle.
Yes.
Experiential knowledge through the love of God. Because God is in us now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the word on stone.
You jump it all in my notes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. No, I'm just saying. No,
yep.
keep going.
Absolutely.
I'm like, you all in my notes.
He,
go ahead.
He said, I put it into your inward parts.
Yes.
I put my word in your inward part.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So God is his word. He is. So that love came into your inward parts.
Yes.
Okay? You know... when you came to the Holy Spirit, the Bible says your spirit joined with his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that witness, there is a witness to,
yes.
that you know you're saved. For example, Christians should know that they're saved. There's
mm-hmm.
a witness that say, I'm saved.
Yeah.
Okay? And now we have to learn how to live with that witness. That witness is going to lead and guide you into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
So learning to live with that love witness
mm-hmm.
will establish the height and the depth that you'll go in him.
That's good. So, yes, that's good. Okay. So, let's keep going. So, you teach that the love of God must be experienced. That's what you've been teaching us about. It
yes.
being experiential. Make sure I'm saying
experiential.
Right. Experiential. Hey. So, we just can't hear about love. We have to experience that. So, explain that statement for a Christian or even someone who has been maybe at a church but has never really experienced God's love. Is it through prayer? How's the intimacy and the love of God, like, experienced?
Number one, God, the new covenant spirit life,
mm-hmm.
God died. Jesus died, so now he can come within his people.
Yes.
And we can be one.
Yes.
So he never wanted us to have uniformity. He wanted us to have unity.
Mm-hmm.
Old Testament, we had to come into uniformity.
Mm-hmm.
New Testament, we have unity.
Right.
Okay, so he wanted to have a real life living experience through us, in
mm-hmm.
us, with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it becomes for us to have that experience. He's saying, I need you to point back to what I did for you.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say God is love, we just read that, okay, so what points to his love?
Mm-hmm.
Yet you was a sinner. I showed my love in this,
mm-hmm.
the scripture says, that yet you was a sinner, I died.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very loving that although I didn't have it all together, you
yeah.
still died.
Yeah.
Although I'm not
yeah.
always getting it right,
you still
died.
Yeah.
So through what he did, he always wanted us to have a vintage point. To say, look at me. Don't look at what you're going through. Don't look at what you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at your experience. I need you to look at
Come
me. If you're going
on.
Through any problems, if you're going through any situations,
yes.
look at me. And if you can stay looking at me,
yes.
now you're going to see what I did on that cross.
Mm-hmm.
And that should provoke and it should bring you into an awareness that, hey, you have somebody else playing a part here too.
Yes.
And I'm here to take ownership. I'm here to take over the pain issue. I'm here to take over your life
mm-hmm.
and show you what life, show you why I created you, why I designed you. And so anyone can come to him. Anyone. Yeah. And we don't have to pay. That's the good thing.
Good news.
No, wherever you are, bring your mess.
It has been paid. It's been cleared in Christ.
It's in Christ. And go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, you know, one of the things that you've been teaching us is about prayer and how a lot of times when we pray, you always talk about the fact that when we go in, we should come out different. Like when we go into prayer, you were like, a lot of times we just go in and we'd be like, check a list. Boom, 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 I prayed and I'm out. But right. You were saying that the love of God, when you go into prayer and you're allowing the love of God to really saturate you, that you come out different, and that God's love will provoke you to be just different. I mean, like he begins to deal with your traumas. He begins to deal with your heart. Let's talk about that a little bit, because I think a lot of times we pray. Even praying scriptures, not saying that there's anything wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's good to pray the word if you don't have anything else to say. But I'm saying, like, the understanding how... Can you explain that a little bit for our listeners? Because you explain it to us every week. But I need them to... you know, I want them to hear about the prayer time and going in there and, like, just being embraced in love by your Father.
Absolutely. Number one, we got to know what we're being led by, okay? We're led by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. When you are saved, the Spirit, God himself, came into you.
Yes.
Right? So the Bible says you're led by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay? We walk by faith, not by sight. Mm-hmm. So when we're led by the Spirit, that inner witness that you got, he said you've adopted, which we cry, Abba,
Father.
Father. And I think the problem is we got to turn back to the Father rather than making God a figure.
Come on.
He's a father. I need to stress that. He's a father.
Yeah.
He's not a figure.
Yeah.
So he holds the components of fathering you where you haven't been fathered, when you haven't had the principles of fatherhood.
Ooh.
So it's not even if you have a earthly father, but you don't have the principles that govern fatherhood, you still can have the deficiency, the lacking of the deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's important for parents, it's important for men, to be established in the principles that govern what God has established for the household.
Mm-hmm.
But so when we're walking with the Spirit, now you're learning to engage. You're learning to interact with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If I'm going to obey God, I got to obey the Holy
Spirit.
It's not on the outside. And we're so used to checking off the boxes.
Yes.
I went to church. I paid my tithes. You know, I did good today. I did all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the New Testament life is by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now that I have the Spirit, I don't just say, hey, I sense I'm saved because the inner witness, and start living my own life, and then church Sunday, I wreck it again, and then say, hey, you know, it's time to do that thing again. No, he's wanting us to have a life experience daily, okay? And so how you grow up in love is God knows that we have different experiences, okay? Anytime we didn't grow up established in the Word of God, and this is not to bring condemnation on anyone, but it points to the importance of growing up in the Word of God. Because where the Word of God, remember the Word is God.
Mm-hmm.
It's God. And anything that's against that God, which is love, it's violating what is good.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, what is God good?
God good. Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay. So if you're violating God good, your carnality will continue to allow you to keep building on what violates God good.
Mm.
What violates divine good. Our flesh, the Bible talks about the mind flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The flesh of the mind, the mind of the flesh is always at war with the mind of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, if we want to understand God, and he's telling us, we hear things like, die to the flesh. We hear things like, you know, die to yourself. And I know sometimes that can sound kind of...
die.
Hey, hold on, die.
I want to live.
What do you mean, die, brother? What church I'm at? Talking about dying.
Right.
But what we're saying is that your carnal mind has its own mind.
Yeah.
And it's not it's not subject to the love of God, which is the law of God. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because the Bible says, and I have scripture here, I put some there just in case. The Bible says the love of God constrains us. Mm-hmm. And that in that constraint, you come into a government. Mm-hmm. Okay? In that constraint of love, you come into a government. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, the government of that love that's constraining you, the flesh, mm-hmm. it's not subject to it. Mm-hmm. It don't agree with it. Mm-hmm. That's why we battle.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes even when we hear the right thing, depending on our state, we're like, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. Yeah.
This is why many times, you know, we can confess one thing, but the reality of our life is another thing. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so learning how to grow up in God, and this is where we got learning to grow up in God. Mm-hmm. You should be teachers by now, mm-hmm. which means you should be showing an expression to unbelievers, mm-hmm. and you said something about believers going through what they're going through. You should be teachers by now, but you need someone to teach you again mm-hmm. the first elementary principles, mm-hmm. the beginning stages of my gospel.
Yeah.
What are the beginning stages?
Yeah.
Watch this. Christ died.
Christ died.
Buried.
Resurrected.
And resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
He said, listen, don't lose the simplicity.
The simplicity.
And sometimes we're trying to go deep without the simplicity.
Yes.
It takes the simplicity
yes.
to point to the depth of God.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I need to write that down. It takes the simplicity
yeah.
of the gospel to
yeah.
point to the depth of God.
Yeah.
And if you lose the simplicity that he died, and he was buried and risen, mm-hmm. if you lose the simplicity, you try to go in depth, mm-hmm. you can miss the heart arrangement that's needed to establish that depth, mm-hmm. so the veil can be torn over your eyes.
Mm.
And so, if we want to grow in love, and you said prayer, mm-hmm. okay? So now the Bible tells us to cast all our cares.
Mm-hmm.
Cast all your what?
Cares.
So when things happen in our life, and there's a critical, I like what my apostle called it, a critical inflection point.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a critical inflection point in your life, something strategic, something tragically happens, mm-hmm. whether it's abuse, misuse, neglect happens in your life. When there's something critical, what happens to you in that moment is it can shift your mental.
Yeah.
It can shift your psychological.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not only that, there's an emotion attached to it.
Yeah.
And this is very important. I'm going to just hit on this just for a second. There's an emotion attached to it. And what happens is now we get saved and we've got an experience with some type of trauma, abuse, misuse, mm-hmm. neglect,
mm-hmm.
especially if it hasn't been built in the Word of God.
Yes.
Now we come to a church
mm-hmm.
and they're teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could be teaching the Word of God. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Okay? So now you heard the word that Jesus can do this, and you know, and they're explaining how and why things happen. So you say, oh, God is good in this, and oh, I understand why the abuse came, I understand why the misuse came, I understand these things, I understand it knowledgeably.
Hmm.
Okay, I understand it cerebrally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the problem is we've caught things cerebral,
mm-hmm.
we understand things from the mental.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the emotional attachment is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And so for God to take and us to get free, we got to allow ourselves to learn to live through a word.
Mm.
So it's beyond you just knowing it. You
yes.
got to live through it.
Live through the word.
And through the experience with God, the internal experience through the love of God. God takes you through a love process through the Holy Ghost,
mm.
through the Holy Spirit. And as he takes you through that love process, you actually start to learn to trust and give your care. Because see, if the emotion's still there, you still care.
Ooh, that's good.
So just because you say you forgave them from your mind,
yeah,
you realize when you met them, when you got, you know, you went to that family
reunion.
That reunion and that Thanksgiving and you saw them at work and then they said something else, you realize, whoa, maybe I wasn't as healed as I thought.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought I was
yeah.
good, but Jesus, maybe I ain't as
yeah.
healed as I thought.
Yeah.
It's because we have to learn to live through a word, which means we grow from encounter with God.
Encounter after encounter after encounter.
We grow from encounter with God.
You know
God.
What's so deep is that in you probably know this, but it just hit me, like, in the Old Testament, they encountered God, like especially when they were going through the wilderness and they were coming, going into the promised land. They would encounter God, like, you know, he'd visit them by fire. He would lead them by cloud. He would drop manna. You know, there was encounter after encounter, but it was outwardly. Yes. And now the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So the encounter is through the Spirit.
Come on.
And so that encounter after encounter, that's how we grow. Like, that's how they were able to understand, oh, God really is for us. He's leading us. You know, it had to be over. You know, he was getting tired. He's like, I'm showing you and I'm revealing myself to you over and over, and yet you still don't get it.
Come on.
And so now, you know, like what I hear you saying is that the encounter now is through the Spirit.
Yes.
And so, and in his love, encounter after encounter. And I don't think people realize how important those encounters in God are.
Yes.
We think it's so outwardly still.
Yes.
That is so, like you said, cerebral. Now, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So we do need knowledge. But that grace and that love, it's an experience.
Yes.
It's an encounter with your Heavenly Father. And I don't think people realize how to do that or what that looks like, if you will. And so I love the fact that you said it's encounter after encounter. And it's really laying your cares before him, really letting. It's almost like if you, in the earthly realm, if you have a father that you trust or whatever, and you could go to and just dump and pour and just be like, man.
Yep.
And he loves you. You know what I'm saying? Loves you through it.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's good. I just had that thought of the Old Testament versus the New Testament. And
amen.
It's really powerful to see, because a lot of times I think we're still living on that, you know.
Absolutely. There are three things that I think that would help. There are three things that you get in prayer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just pinpointed these today. The three C's.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, prayer, it helps your conscience.
Mm.
It makes you aware.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we have a flesh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on.
And the flesh has its own mind. Every day you wake up, the flesh is saying, "Hey, you gonna choose me, or you gonna you choosing something else?" Okay.
True story.
So, what prayer does, it helps you to awaken your conscience.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And your conscience. Mm-hmm. Okay. And through your conscience, you're aware of that Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You're aware of what the Spirit is doing. You're aware of his emotions, and how he wants to move, his movements for the day. Okay? The Spirit has emotions. He has motions. He has movements. There's things that God feels. God feels.
Yeah.
God have emotions. Mm-hmm. God, the person, he has a way. So we have to be cognizant on a day-to-day basis. I'm sorry, we're still on conscience.
Okay, cool. I heard a C.
We got to be conscious.
Yeah.
The second C is clear.
Okay.
What prayer does, it clears you. It brings a clarity. It gives you a perspective regarding any matter.
Mm.
So it brings you a perspective about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It gives you a clear conscience. It's clearing your way, okay, from all the clutter, all the different things that's going on in your mind, all right? And then the third one is it's current. Mm. It brings you up to date.
That's cool.
You need an update, a divine update, okay?
A preceding word, a now word.
It gives you a now word. It gives you a preceding to help you understand what needs to be done now. You got 10 things on your list.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you continue to get a consecration schedule, a consecration, and tap into that mechanism, you will be able to be updated. What is the need for today? The Bible says, "Focus on today." What do you need today? Let today be the win the day.
For real,
you got 20, but I need you to know what's important for today.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we're doing things and we don't understand that God, the Spirit of God, can navigate and help us to understand the divine importance of what's needed for the moment, what's needed for the day, and just how to navigate that. But the biggest issue is, I think, the desire to pray and how that works. Because since we can't go down this line.
Let's go.
We're talking about the love of God. Okay? We're talking about the love of God. Angela, what I notice is we have to understand how prayer works. Okay? How prayer works. Number one, you can't give back to God what you are not aware of in God.
Mm.
Okay. I'm going to break it apart. Mm-hmm. You can't give back to God what you're not aware of in Him. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, for example, the majority of people wake up asking God, how can I please you for today? Mm-hmm. And you've been at the church long enough, you know. Mm-hmm. How can I please you for today? Mm-hmm. Wrong question. Mm-hmm. It's, God, how can I be pleased by what you've already done for today? That's a whole different perspective. Woo. Okay? How can I see what you've already done on the cross? Mm. Remember, it's your righteousness. In the righteousness of God, we go from faith to faith.
Yeah.
So if I point to the cross, mm-hmm. I don't need to wake up and say, God, what do I do? Hold on. Get kick-started. Mm-hmm. We should be living. The Bible says pray always. Mm-hmm. Have a consistency time so mm-hmm. you can always be awakened to what He wants to do. Of course, the unctions of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. But if you're waking up to try to see what He wants for the day, you're going to find yourself checking off boxes.
Checking it off.
You know, God, I did my reading for the day.
Back to the letter.
And trying to prove yourself to God. And we cannot prove ourselves to God. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags.
That's right. We're righteous.
So the good news is we don't have to depend on our righteousness.
Yes, thank you, God. I thank Him for that every day.
I don't have to depend on my righteousness.
Yes.
All I can do, my job is to point to His.
Yes.
Whatever problem I wake up to, I need to learn to wake up and point to His righteousness. Come out of my own righteousness.
Yeah.
If the world really understood that it's His righteousness. Mm-hmm. We don't have to get it right to get right.
Come. Yes.
We look at who is right.
Yes.
And by keeping our eyes focused on who is right, by default, we start to be transformed.
That part.
By the renewing of our minds.
Yes.
And our mind will transition into our heart. And we can start living. Slow me down.
Stay there, sure. Because it all goes back to love. And even in your prayer, if you don't believe that the Father loves you and you're fearful of Him, or you have a skewed view of
yes.
your Father, you are either going to be praying just to check a box, or your prayer is going to be spent repenting over and over. Now, I'm not saying, the Bible tells us if we
right.
confess our sins, confess it, be done, move on. It says love keeps no record of wrongs.
Right.
God keeps no record of wrongs. So because of His righteousness, He keeps no record of wrongs. Boom, we let it go. But I feel like, you're in prayer just crying out, asking for this, asking for that. And it all depends on your understanding of His love for you.
Yes.
You can either stand.
Let me hear what you just said. I think sometimes we qualify crying out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difference between crying out and crying out to Him.
Yes. Preach that.
Just because we cry,
mm-hmm.
I might be crying because you're about to mess up what I want to do.
True.
So just because a tear came down doesn't mean that I've tapped into a vein of God.
Oh, that's true.
So I think sometimes situating our tears, situating mm-hmm. of where our heart lies,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I always say stability,
mm-hmm.
having stability is important.
Because
mm-hmm. you don't need to move until the presence of God show up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the presence of God is everywhere, yes. But that doesn't mean, I like what somebody said, I don't know, but I'm going to use it. He said, just because Jesus is on the boat don't mean He's awakening your boat.
That's good.
Just because He's yeah. on the boat doesn't mean He's awakened on the boat.
Yeah.
And so we have to realize that when we are crying out, the Bible says, listen, I don't deny the sacrifice of the God. It's a broken heart, contrite spirit. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. That's what He will never deny your heart is broken.
Mm-hmm.
God wants you to bring it to Him, though.
Bring it to Him.
But just because we cry doesn't mean that it's always that my heart is yielding to a good Father.
Yeah.
Sometimes my cry is because I'm still not there yet.
Yeah.
And when that's happening, and sometimes if we're having a problem praying, you need to just stay a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Stay a little longer. Well, stay a little longer.
Yeah.
In fact, I say stay until you break.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stay until something change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pastor, that sounds kind of deep. No, you need help.
Yes.
You know, I this generation, with all the stuff that we say and do in church,
yeah.
I don't get it. You need help.
Yeah.
You'll stay at a conference for 5 hours.
Right.
I promise you spend no less than
You're absolutely right.
You will stay with the psychiatrist for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. But giving God time, for some reason, we throw grace and we throw all this stuff, and He is a good God. But sometimes you need to kickstart yourself.
Yeah.
Get yourself in the vein where you can meet Him in that place. Mm-hmm. Yes, He's there, but that doesn't mean that I'm aware that He's there. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that I'm aware of His righteousness, aware of His goodness. Okay?
So good.
And so these are the areas that God has to deal with our soul. Mm-hmm. Okay, I wish that you prosper and be in good health, mm-hmm. even as your soul, mm-hmm. your soul, the prosperity of your soul. Mm-hmm. Okay, God cares about the prosperity of your soul, and everything from there will always prosper.
So good. And you hit that. I guess what I was talking about when I was saying about praying and coming, it's almost like sometimes not, I feel like people can't stay in prayer too, because it's almost like a shame, guilt when you come. And that's what I meant by the groveling and the, oh, right. God, help. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And it already tells us that you don't have to come to Him like that, because we're not coming in our own righteousness anyways.
Yes.
We're coming in the righteousness of Christ. So when we do that, it says to our, it almost makes Jesus's death to no effect, because we're coming still kind of from that old mindset. And I think that in order to embrace God's love for you, you have to understand His heart. And you have to understand it from the Spirit, that He is now in you. He loves you. He's for you. And you can encounter Him.
Absolutely.
Like you were saying.
I want you to hear me. God never expected no one to get it right without Him.
Come on. You can't.
Okay.
Not truly.
And so when we are in a cycle, mm-hmm. when we're in a mess up, when we're in a continual something that we don't desire, yeah. and you know you don't desire it because you want to get out of it, okay? This is why, as Christians who are already believers and those who are maturing, it's important to mature, mm-hmm. okay? Because the Bible says, remember, you should be teachers by now, mm-hmm. but you need someone to teach you again.
Yeah.
The elementary principles, this level, those who know, has exercised their spirit, knowing what's good and evil, rightly dividing the word of truth. All these things matter. Mm-hmm. How we present the gospel matter. How we package the gospel
yes.
matter. This is very important. How we package the gospel mm-hmm. does matter. Mm-hmm. Okay? Timothy, don't promote a novice. Mm-hmm. I thought everybody just go wild and crazy and start a ministry. And listen,
yes.
we have a ministry in Christ Jesus. Yes. But we have to allow the Spirit of God to transform us, to renew us. Because the life that God is calling us to live is that He can find expression through us.
Mm.
And if He can't find expression through me, I don't want to force His hand.
Ooh.
I don't want to force His hand.
Mm.
So, Lord, I submit. I don't want to force Your hand.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. What does forcing His hand look like? He said, if you can prophesy,
mm-hmm.
you can do this, you can do that. If you have knowledge, if you have, if you can prophesy, if you have the gift,
mm-hmm.
your gifts are working,
mm-hmm.
but you don't love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're nothing. See, that messes me up.
Really?
Because I thought we supposed to be growing in gifts, and we are supposed to be growing in gifts.
Yeah.
But there's a foundational issue. Mm. The concrete got to be laid.
Come on.
Okay. And if the concrete is not laid, you can't build.
Yeah.
Okay.
Laid right.
And so the love of God is the concrete. It's the foundation. And then the gifts can flow functionally.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're functioning through the expression and experiential love and knowledge. See, this knowledge is not needy.
Mm.
This knowledge doesn't have to prove anything.
Mm-hmm.
God, in fact, everybody, listen, God is trying to get us back to our vulnerable state.
Yeah.
Most of us are not, we're not in our vulnerable state. Mm-hmm. We've learned to mask up.
Whew, literally mask
up. We've learned to mask up, and we've allowed that to come into the church where there's a uniformity. But
mm-hmm.
the reality of unity comes through this love that we have mm-hmm. to learn to live from. And so,
are we masking up personally, and we're masking up as a congregation, you're saying?
We mask up personally
mm-hmm.
because we don't want nobody to judge us.
Yep.
We don't want nobody to judge us. And mm-hmm. if people are judging you, mm-hmm. you know, we need to identify where we are in the first place.
Yeah.
Okay? But we need to check ourselves and make sure. Sometimes people ain't judging. Your mind is telling you mm-hmm. all these mm-hmm. kind of things. Mm-hmm. But we mask up because we don't know how to come just with who we are.
Yeah.
Where we are.
Okay.
We don't know how to come to God where we are. Mm-hmm. Especially if we have titles. Especially if we have this and we have that. And what we have to realize, though, is it doesn't matter where you are. Mm-hmm. No matter what title you have.
Yes.
You don't want to try to continue to revelate without growing in this love.
Ooh, that's good.
That points to this righteousness that you can really transform the souls that God is calling us to. We're entrusted with this grace.
We're entrusted.
We're entrusted with this grace.
Freely I have received, so I freely give.
Yes.
And if we haven't received freely and aren't walking fully in God's love, and I'm not saying it has to be perfect, but you're not even walking in God's love, you're going to give out whatever you're walking in.
Absolutely.
So that's why it's so important to really grow in his love, especially before you trying to touch all the, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. you can't grow outside of your grace level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is why we got to be honest with God of where we are.
Yes.
God knows where we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wants us to tell him.
But you know, we have to learn and allow ourselves to be vulnerable.
Yes.
Because once again, we do steal other people's story about our life. What I mean by that is we don't know always where we're hurt.
Mm.
And for us to grow, we got to allow the word of God to separate between soul and marrow.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Be the discerner of the heart
mm-hmm.
and mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The word of God, he's come to address your issue.
Yeah.
Okay? When the word comes, he's coming to address your issue mm-hmm. so you can live from that word.
Really?
And you can have the stature of that God who is love.
Mm.
God is so loving that he wants you to have the same stature. He said, be imitators of me.
Mm-hmm. And he wants you free.
He wants
truly
you free.
Truly free.
Yes.
Truly free.
Yes.
I remember hearing a story from somebody that preached, and they were saying that they were, I don't remember what the issue is, but they kept going, you know, they were going in prayer, and the Lord was trying to deal with them about something. And they didn't even know what it was, but it was like something would provoke them to anger. And they didn't know why they would always get angry in this situation or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was through the love of God, but in that quiet time, in that encounter with the Lord, that he showed them, and it went all the way back to something that had happened in like when he was like 10.
Yes.
And he said, oh my gosh. And he released it from that point on. And God like dealt with it in his love of him.
Mm.
And it was like, it got corrected right then. You know what I'm saying? And so it's that journey.
Yes.
Growing in love. We are becoming, we are perfect in Christ, but we are being perfected,
you know?
And so that sanctification, that process of like, man, and like, he'll bring you back and you'll be like, oh my gosh, that's why I always have done that. Or that's why I think like that. And
right.
So, but it takes those encounters.
Yes.
It takes knowing that God loves us and that correction. Let's talk about that. Let's get to that part. We don't have a whole lot of time, but let's talk about that because love,
so fast, huh?
It does. Love. Yeah. We throw the word love around so much. Everything's love.
Yes.
And a lot of times love is when you feel it made you feel good. Oh, love, 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 love. Everybody's love. It doesn't matter if it exhibits the heart of God. It doesn't matter if
right.
it violates the heart. It's love if we just agree with it. And so I think it's important to understand that there's no condemnation in Christ, but that there is correction in his love. And understanding that correction allows us to grow. And I think that that's kind of what you were hitting on a minute ago.
Absolutely. Love is not subjective.
Yeah.
You can't
say that.
You can't choose it the way you want it.
Say that.
Is it love that they have a red light outside?
Come on.
You know, see.
Don't talk about us walking across the street.
By the grace of God, I'm in an ACAP program
uh-huh.
where we partner with the police department.
Okay,
right. So I'm in classes. I'm learning, and I'm seeing they're teaching me. They're showing me different things when it comes to how the laws work, how things are governing in the community,
mm-hmm.
in the city. Now, if we all honest, sometimes we when we're driving, we pass that yellow light. You see it, but you don't stop. Okay. Now that I take the class and I see the accidents that's happened, now I'm getting knowledge and I'm actually seeing the effect of breaking the law. I didn't have care for it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm rushing. Hey, I got to get to work.
Yeah.
But now I'm behind the scenes and I can see. The veil is torn off. Yes. I can actually see the effect of what the damage that you violating. You trying to rush and pass the orange light and you catch the red one. And you can hit somebody. You can run over something. And now that I see the effect of that, now when I come out from that knowledge of seeing that, I have an internal conviction about, so I grew. It's kind of the same way with the word of God.
So good.
The love of God constrains us. The Bible said the love of God constrains us. It compels us. It corrects us. That love, it establishes a government in you. Okay? And the more that you see in righteousness that points to that love, the more that you grow in the knowledge, that should point. See, I think this is where we get stuck. Just because you read don't mean you're going into knowledge. The Bible says they read the scriptures thinking that it gives them eternal life, but it points to the person, experience. So even if I read and if it don't point to me to an experience through the word. See, I got to live through the word. Okay?
Wow.
I live through the word.
So good.
New Testament life is through the word. It's experiential.
So good.
I was on my way here. I was just happy for the goodness. I was happy about what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
And as I'm just praying under my shot, telling my, something rose up. Real tired young day. I'm tears coming down because the word works. It starts to work in you.
Yes.
It just worked. And now he's hitting areas in my mind. And I didn't want to get out the car. I could have stayed there for a couple hours. Because with that, but that's how it works.
Yeah.
God doesn't want us to fake it till we make it. I know we like to say that stuff. No. He didn't call us to fake it till we make it. He said, you can make it because I've already made it.
Respecting him.
I don't want to preach that. He's already made it. So all we have to do is learn to submit ourselves and yield to him. He's there to take our pain.
Yeah.
Take our strain. You know, and so that's where, and I'm sorry, I don't know.
No, that's so good, but I was going to recap. What you're saying, too, is the law of love.
Yes.
God's law of love. It is because he knows what sin does to us.
Yes.
How wonderful is that, that his law of love tries to constrain us, because not because he's trying to, you know, but he knows what sin does to us, and his law, he has to put that wrath on sin.
Absolutely.
He knows what it does to us. So he's trying to constrain us in his love.
Absolutely.
So when we think like, oh, he's just or whatever, because we think like that because of our experiences.
Right.
But that law of love is actually, it's a constrainer, it's powerful, and it covers.
Yes.
Love covers a multitude of sins.
Love it.
It covers us.
Yes.
And so walking in that love and in that grace is actually, when we understand it, we'd run to it more than run away from it.
Absolutely. The love of God is not without the law of God. And this is, and you're totally right. Many kind of get this twisted. Because we can call love anything and everything.
Come on.
But the law of God, the love of God is not without the law of God. And the law of God still points to his love.
Still points to his love.
So that even when we break the law, this is how good God is.
Come on.
Paul said something like this. Why do I do what I don't want to do? I want to do the right thing,
right.
But I do what I don't want to do. And if I'm doing what I don't want to do, it's no longer I who is doing it, but it's the law working in my members.
Yeah.
Okay? The Bible says the law is good in this, that it points to that it's lawless. So what he's trying to say is, and I'm going to just break it down real quick. He's trying to say that every time you mess up, and that feeling that you get, that feeling that you need to make up, that's not pointing to that you need to go into your own and build a structure of condemnation.
Yeah.
There is no condemnation to those who are Christ Jesus. No, let it point to me. And you let there be a prayer that, God, I thought I had it.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize I was standing again. Let those who think they stand take heed.
Least they fall.
So we have to know that the stand, he wants us to stand, but stand in that grace. Stand in the spirit capacity, in the growth of grace through the love of God.
That's it right there. We can stop right there. That's a wonderful ending. I hate that we have to go. That goes so fast.
Amen.
We have to get off for the next show. But yes,
amen,
that was the perfect ending. God is for you.
Yes.
He loves you. He is not against you. And I think you pretty much made that very clear today. We're going to have to do a part two of this because
yeah,
there's so much to it.
I'll be definitely.
It's so much to it. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you would like to give, if this show has blessed you, go to fbrn.us. You can find my show page, Focus with Angela Duncan. You can scroll down and you can donate. It goes straight to the show to keep us on the air. I hope you've enjoyed today. See you next Tuesday, same time, same place, 7 o'clock. Have a good one.